this is your Polycast for Wednesday, August 10th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a wrap-up of yesterday's primary results. Starting with probably the biggest story of the day, Ilhan Omar is a step closer to becoming the nation's first Somali-American state lawmaker. Last night, she won a three-way DFL primary race in Minneapolis, ending the career of one of Minnesota's longest-serving legislators, Phyllis Kahn. Matt Sepik reports.
With 41% of the vote, Somali-American community activist and former city council aide Ilhan Omar easily beat 43-year incumbent State Representative Phyllis Kahn, along with former Minneapolis school board member Mahmoud Noor. Hundreds of Omar's supporters packed into a stuffy restaurant banquet room for her victory rally last night. Flanked by her husband and children, Omar said her campaign appealed to a diverse base of voters and proved skeptics wrong.
A lot of people that I admire had bought into the narrative of misogyny that they believed existed in my community and didn't think it was possible for a woman to win the seat in my community.
Yeah!
I want to remind them that I come from a great community.
Omar, who's 33, was born in Somalia and fled the country's civil war as a child. She and her family spent 4 years in a refugee camp across the border in Kenya before moving to the United States. They settled in Minneapolis's Cedar Riverside neighborhood. Outside the restaurant, supporter Hared Ma said Omar's primary win is not only historic, but also a repudiation of the anti-Muslim vitriol in national politics.
I think this is a testament to the understanding that communities in Minnesota, in Minneapolis specifically, have toward, you know, diversity, that an educated Muslim woman can win against a veteran politician.
79-year-old Phyllis Kahn is one of the most senior politicians at the Minnesota Capitol, but she will not be back for a 23rd term. First elected in 1972, Kahn is tied for tenure only with fellow DFL Representative Lyndon Carlson of Crystal, who did not face a primary challenge. With a group of about 20 supporters at a Central Avenue bar, Kahn congratulated Omar on her victory.
The voters have spoken, and that's what happens when the voters speak. Ilhan obviously ran a very good campaign, mobilized a lot of people that we didn't see before in previous elections.
Though she's favored to win in this DFL-heavy district, Omar says she's mobilizing her supporters for the general election in November. That's when she'll face Republican rival Abdi Malik Askar, a Somali-American television producer and educator. Covering politics, I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Overall, four incumbent state lawmakers lost their jobs Tuesday as Minnesota voters narrowed the field of candidates in the general election. In addition to Phyllis Kahn, DFL Representative Joe Mullery of Minneapolis lost, as did Republican Representative Tom Hackbarth and Republican Senator Sean Nino. Tim Pugmire picks up the story where Matt left off with Phyllis Kahn.
Phyllis Kahn not only lost her House District 60B primary, she came in third. Ilhan Omar was the top vote getter in a three-way race. Kahn is a 22-term incumbent who was first elected to the House in 1972. She said Omar out-organized her.
You know, when I was elected in 72 as a historic event, this is a new historic event. Obviously, our district is the home of historic events.
In House District 59A, first-time candidate Fu Lee defeated Joe Mullery, a 10-term incumbent. Lee said he made a convincing case to voters to make a change.
Seems like a lot of stuff that's been going on. I think that everybody was ready for a change, so you know, just getting out there to talk to them just to see how they're feeling and really getting to know them, that really matters a lot to this campaign.
Two Republican incumbents who had earlier lost party endorsement battles tried unsuccessfully to hold on to their seats in the primary. Cal Barr of East Bethel, who defeated incumbent Representative Tom Hackbarth of Cedar, said he knew a lot of voters wanted a new voice.
There was different reasons that they all cited, but it's some of them, it was things that Mr. Hackbarth had said or done for them, to them, 6 years ago, and they had not forgotten. but they had nobody else to vote for. So this is the first time he's had a primary challenger in years.
In Senate District 32, incumbent Senator Sean Nino of Cambridge lost to Mark Coran of North Branch. Coran said he was excited by the results.
It's a rare occasion that you actually take out a three-term incumbent, and significantly. So we knew the position that we believed the incumbent put us in, and we forged ahead and ran a hard campaign, and I think the results show it.
Seven of the other challenged incumbents, including House Speaker Kurt Dowd, won convincingly in primary contests. As the state's top elected Republican, Dowd faced unusually intense criticism in recent weeks from his primary opponent, Alan Duff of Isanti, and from outside groups. They made similar complaints about Dowd not being conservative enough the past 2 years as Speaker of the House. Dowd thanked voters in a written statement and stressed that House Republicans have provided a check and balance on DFL Governor Mark Dayton and Senate Democrats. In other House primary races, incumbent Republican Representative Sondra Erickson of Princeton won, as did DFL Representatives Deborah Hillstrom of Brooklyn Center and Rena Moran of St. Paul. There were primary contests in 14 House races, including two open seats. DFL House Minority Leader Paul Thiessen of Minneapolis had mixed emotions about the primary results, which claimed two veterans of his caucus. But Thiessen said he's also pleased to have candidates with some new energy as he looks toward November.
Sitting here today, I feel cautiously optimistic about where we're going to be able to end up in terms of taking back a majority this fall.
There were primaries in 14 Senate races, including three open seats. The Senate incumbents that scored primary victories were DFLers Bobby Joe Champion of Minneapolis, Jeff Hayden of Minneapolis, and Vicki Jensen of Owatonna. There was only one statewide contest on the primary ballot. Voters narrowed the field for a Minnesota Supreme Court seat from three candidates to two. Associate Justice Natalie Hudson, whom Governor Dayton appointed a year ago, and Attorney Michelle McDonald will move on to the general election in the nonpartisan race. Third-place finisher Craig Foss was eliminated. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
In other primary news, a Republican who made his name in conservative talk radio won a four-way primary in Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District. Jason Lewis moves on to face Democratic nominee Angie Craig for a seat Republicans have long held. It'll be an expensive and, by early indications, fierce campaign. Brian Baxt has more.
Lewis came into the primary with the Republican apparatus behind him as the party's endorsed candidate. But he wasn't exactly waving the party flag when addressing dozens of supporters at his campaign headquarters as results rolled in and signaled his convincing win ahead.
The establishment of both parties have their warning. The status quo will not hold, and you and I and everybody else are going to change it, and we're going to move this country in the right direction. We're going to get this economy moving again. We're going to secure those borders, and we're going to have the kind of America that we're going to hand off to our children that we can be proud of.
Lewis campaigned as the outsider in the race. His chief rival, businesswoman Darlene Miller, was the choice of many mainstream Republicans, including retiring Congressman John Klein. Former State Senator John Howe of Red Wing was also in the race and finished a distant third. Lewis says he tapped into an anxious voter mood.
I think people are really ready for genuine change. I mean, that becomes a cliche in politics, but after a while, people say, I've listened to Jason over the years, and that's a guy that's going to affect change, a real change, and not just put party above principle.
His next opponent, DFL candidate Angie Craig, is positioning herself as a candidate who can appeal to centrists.
I'm going to be looking for common ground. I'm going to be looking to work and to listen to people that I don't necessarily policy-wise align with. I'm going to have an open mind, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to work with the other side.
But for the next few months, the former medical device company executive is primed to pick up where Republican challengers to Lewis left off, dredging up old radio show statements and other provocative commentary to portray him as extreme.
Well, his rhetoric in demeaning women, his rhetoric commenting on states' rights related to the Civil War, none of that rhetoric helps us create jobs in the 2nd Congressional District. None of that rhetoric helps us make college more affordable.
The state Republican Party came out firing at Craig, calling her a far-left candidate who doesn't fit the district south of the Twin Cities. And Lewis says rehashing quotes from a decade or more ago is gotcha politics and doesn't accurately reflect his views.
Not only are the specific distortions old news, but that brand of politicking is old news.
He believes that strategy will backfire. His radio program likely paid some dividends. Some primary voters said they got to know and trust Lewis as regular listeners. Darren Silverness cast his ballot for Lewis in Burnsville. The call center director was a fan of Lewis on the air, agrees with his libertarian philosophy, and likes his assertive style.
He's very direct, and he, again, believes the government should work for the people and be smaller in doing so. So I think just his ability to be persuasive on the floor and really speak intelligently with what his views are and back him up with facts, I think, is what resonates with me.
But Lewis has work to do to unite factions of his party who went with another candidate. In an interview before Lewis was declared the winner, Miller declined to say if she'll get behind a candidate she had branded as erratic and unelectable.
You know, I will definitely look at all the options out there, but we're going to win, so I don't think I'll have to do that.
A Facebook post from Miller made after the Lewis victory didn't mention him. Greg Robinson works in finance and considers himself an independent who has voted Republican before. Robinson voted for Miller. Outside his Burnsville polling place, he says he's turned off by Lewis for another reason: the candidate's willingness to support Donald Trump as the Republican nominee for president. That could be enough to swing Robinson to Craig.
Yeah, I'll vote for the Democrat.
How come?
I'm not voting for Trump, and I won't vote for anyone that supports him. Simple as that. That's just all it is.
Elsewhere, all of the incumbent members of Congress facing primaries won, and the congressional challengers who entered the election with their party's endorsement all prevailed too. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News, Burnsville.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.